few weeks ago, you may have seen on the news, or maybe you heard about in Catholic media, that the church celebrated World Youth Day in Lisbon, Portugal. And World Youth Day is an event where thousands of youth come from all around the world to listen to catechetical talks and to pray with the Holy Father. And I had the privilege to attend World Youth Day. They have it about every 3 years or so. I attended the last one in 2019 in Panama when I was in seminary. And I traveled with a group from our diocese, and one of the highlights was the proximity that our group got to see Pope Francis. There was a big outdoor kind of concert arena area in Panama City, and there was a road that he was gonna go in and out in the Pope Mobile to be able to get to that arena. So our group got there very early. We actually had mass near the spot, and then we got very close to the barricades, so that when Pope Francis went by in the Pope Mobile, he got about as close as from where I'm standing right here at the Ambo to where the processional cross is. So seeing him go in and out of the stadium. And it struck me, too, just how electrified the crowd got, this crowd of young people, just to see the Holy Father. That this would rival most bands. And I think the reason is because people have a grasp on some level of the spiritual authority that the Pope holds, which our gospel speaks about today. That Peter is the rock upon which Christ will build his church, and then he gives him the keys of the kingdom for that purpose. Now, let's just take a step back for a moment. There are a couple of ways to look at authority in the church, or how it's given in the church. It's given both charismatically and hierarchically. Charismatically and hierarchically. And they both work together. They're not necessarily completely separate entities. Charismatically means through the Spirit. So you can think about the Holy Spirit descending at Pentecost. You can think about the different charisms of the Spirit, like healing or prophecy or teaching that might be given to different people that St. Paul speaks about. And this is kind of on a horizontal level, right? These are gifts that everyone on some level possesses some charism of the Spirit. The other way authority is given in the church is hierarchically, which is also a charism too. But where this authority comes from is through ordination. So think of deacons and priests and bishops who have the fullness of orders, the sacred powers that are given to them. Then you have titles that might be bestowed, such as Monsignor or Cardinal. Cardinals are the different priests that are the priests of the Pope. So they have a church in Rome and are in charge usually of a different dicastery or ministry in Rome. Now, one of the challenges that we can face when we look at the church hierarchically is that we can talk about it, or it can look like just another human institution. You might think about it like a business, like Church Inc. You know, the Pope is the CEO, and the cardinals are like the board of directors who elect a Pope every so often, and then the bishops and the priests are kind of the regional offices of the church. And canon law is like some HR procedural law that's given down to the different parts of the church. Now, I'm exaggerating this because the point is that we could talk about the church as if it were some other human institution. And in fact, when I was in seminary, people would often tell us, you know, you guys need to take more business classes. That's what you need to do. You know, as if we were, you know, getting an MBA or something. And it's not to say that the church doesn't have business-like qualities to it. It does. But to see it purely like a business, or to see it like maybe another political institution, really misses the point of the church and her purpose as the bride of Christ. And this can filter down to the way that we talk about the church. If we just look at it as another human institution that just makes rules and regulations or suggestions that the clergy are just around to enforce, Again, if we look at the church like that, that is such an impoverished view of what the church is. We have to remember that the church begins with a confession of faith, and it's faith in a person. Jesus asks his disciples who people say the Son of Man is, and they give different answers. Some say he's John the Baptist, others Elijah, or one of the other prophets, like Jeremiah. But then Jesus turns the question back on them, and he says, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter then responds, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter makes a personal confession in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ, who is human and divine, the Son of God. And that's where we have to start. Because the Lord isn't just asking this question to the disciples, he's also speaking to us in the sacred scriptures. He's asking the question to us. So who do we say that Jesus is? Now, we can answer this question like a test question or just give a quick catechetical answer, say he's the Son of God or the Messiah or whatever title you want to say. But that's not what Jesus is asking. What he's asking is, do we believe in our heart of hearts? Do we believe with every fiber of our being that Jesus is the Son of God? Because if that's true, if we believe that, if we believe that God loves us so much that he sent his only Son to die for our sins on the cross, then that changes everything about our lives. Because then we are called to follow him and to surrender our lives over to him, believing in his love, believing in his power, believing that we are beloved sons and daughters of God. It starts with a confession, an acknowledgement of that relationship. But then Jesus goes further. He tells Peter that he couldn't have known this through flesh and blood, but that it had to be revealed to Peter by his heavenly Father. So it was a gift. It was divinely inspired and given to Peter. Something that he couldn't have come to by natural reason. God had to give it to him, had to inspire it to him. And because Peter receives this gift, and he acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, he is then given a mission. He is given a mission to be the rock, to receive the spiritual authority to bind and loose in heaven and on earth. This means that the Spirit that is given to Peter will be with Peter, and it will continue to be handed on to other popes. There's been about 266 popes throughout history. And so that power extends all the way down to Pope Francis. It will be that spirit of binding and loosing, which will be the forgiveness of sins in the sacrament of reconciliation, that will be handed on to the priests through the bishops, the successors of the apostles, that spirit that will run through them. It will be that spirit of truth that will guide the Pope and other ecumenical councils from erring on matters of faith and morals. It's that same spirit that is gifted to them. And it will be that spirit that will be passed on to the clergy to govern parishes and charisms that will be given to clergy and also other members of the church to lead the church in that bond of charity, in that bond of love that is given to us through the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist that we receive every Sunday and then flows out so we can go out and evangelize the world. Even with that beautiful vision, it doesn't mean that everything will be perfect. The Lord doesn't give us the spirit of perfection. It doesn't mean that popes, bishops, priests, deacons, laity aren't going to make mistakes or won't always make the right decisions. There is a, like I said, there is a gift of a spirit of truth from erring on faith and morals that's given to the Pope in ecumenical councils, but it doesn't mean that there might not be other things that people can err on. It's a messy world that we live in, unfortunately, because sin is part of that world. But we have to remember the other promise that is given to Peter, that no matter what internal challenges or external challenges that may face the church, that the gates of the netherworld, the gates of hell, will not prevail against the church. Jesus promises that, that he will always be with his church, that God will be with his church. And that is a very powerful promise, something we always have to keep before us as we face challenges in our uncertain world. The confession and spiritual authority that is given to Peter by Christ, governed by love and truth. It's that. That's the spiritual authority that is given to the church. That is the church's authority here on earth. That's what the youth got excited about at World Youth Day, because that's what they saw. That's why the church is not just another human institution.